which monitors U.S. Defense and security assistance to Latin America, at WOLA.org. And there's a lot of information there.
Well, I've been speaking with Adam Isaacson. He's a senior associate at the Washington Office on Latin America. We've been discussing the capture of Joaquin Chapo Guzman. This is Doug McVeigh with KBOO News. In the latest news from U.S.-occupied Afghanistan, the U.S. Army has announced a plan to send 500 soldiers to Afghanistan for an assignment of up to 9 months. These soldiers will serve as advisors to Afghan national security forces, but will also engage in active combat against both the Taliban and Daesh, known in English by the acronym ISIS. According to information released by the Army, the soldiers will be deployed later this winter to join the 10th Mountain Division at Bagram Airfield after completing a mission rehearsal exercise this month at the Joint Readiness Training Center at Fort Polk, Louisiana. Friday was one of the deadliest days for Taliban fighters in eastern Nangarhar province. Early reports suggested that dozens of fighters were killed in airstrikes, but an Afghan official says that 16 of the casualties were killed in internal clashes between Daesh and the Taliban. At least 43 others were killed by U.S. and Afghan Army airstrikes. In Takhar province, Afghan officials report that 17 people were killed in airstrikes. According to the military, the 17 were all Taliban fighters, but this has not been independently confirmed.
And now, the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imamc.org for Monday, January 11th, 2016. Israeli attacks targeting Palestinians leave a child and a youth injured in two separate attacks. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Israeli soldiers shot and seriously wounded on Monday morning a young Palestinian man allegedly after attempting to stab Israeli soldiers near the northern West Bank city of Tul Karim. The incident took place near the Harmesh Israeli colony illegally built on Palestinian lands north of the northern West Bank city of Tul Karim. The wounded Palestinian, identified as Ziad Maher Muhammad Al-Ashkar, is from Saida village near Tul Karim. Also on Monday, Israeli soldiers shot and injured a Palestinian child with a live round in the village of Hizma, north of Jerusalem, under the pretext of hurling stones at a bus carrying Israeli settlers. According to witnesses from the village, a 12-year-old Kosai Nimer sustained injuries after being targeted with a bullet in his lower body. He was transferred to Ein Kerem Israeli Hospital and is currently being detained by the Israeli army. In other news, Israeli soldiers have kidnapped late at night and Monday at dawn at least 21 Palestinians in military invasions targeting various communities in different parts of the occupied West Bank. Moreover, Palestinian journalist Mohammed Al-Kik has fallen into a coma after entering his 48th day of hunger strike, family sources revealed. Al-Kik is protesting his detention by the Israeli army and ill treatment by his captives. Meanwhile, the Israeli authorities on Monday issued administrative detention orders against 34 Palestinian detainees, said the Palestinian Prisoner Society. Elsewhere, Israeli Navy ships opened fire on Monday morning on a number of Palestinian fishing boats in Gaza territorial waters close to Beit Lahia shore in the northern part of the coastal region. The Navy fired live rounds on fishing boats, forcing the fishers to go back to shore. No injuries were reported. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Monday, January 11th, 2016 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi. I'm me, Ghassan Banoura. No.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ken Jones, Jenka Soderberg, Don Zur, and Demi Hellenius. The producer is Doug McVeigh. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen or something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Doug McVeigh.
And I'm Ken Jones, and welcome, Lisa. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now!, hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on the Abe and Joe Talk radio show, Joe and Abe discuss the Trans-Pacific Partnership, among other topics. At 9, on alternative radio, professor and author Deepak Kumar speaks on Islamophobia. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Stage and Studio, host D-May Roberts features the Fertile Ground Festival, Portland's largest performing arts festival, with festival director Nicole Lane. And at 11:30, Andre Middleton hosts Art Focus. Thank you for listening to KBOO, and thanks KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
And stay tuned now for an interview with independent journalist Alexander Reed Ross, author of Grabbing Back, Essays Against the Global Land Grab, speaking about the armed occupation of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Good night, Ken.
Good night, Doug. Good night, Danielle. Good night, Danielle. As the occupation of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge by right-wing militants reaches its ninth day, Harney County sheriffs say they're in a holding pattern and, quote, keeping all options open. Meanwhile, independent journalist Alexander Reed Ross just returned from the scene yesterday where he interviewed members of the armed group. Reed's the author of Grabbing Back, Essays Against the Global Land Grab. He spoke with Lisa Loving this morning in our KBOO studios.
The average rancher in eastern Oregon is not, you know, a millionaire like Bundy is. And the average sort of small-time miner is also not, you know, rolling in dough like the multinational corporations are. But they're used as sort of mythical characters, you know, of this sort of classic American value by interests that are far greater than they are. Namely sort of the radical right, various conservative politicians, and in particular larger mining and industrial interests that exist in ALEC and other kinds of sort of legislative and corporate crossovers. I think that in this specific instance, you know, ALEC is kind of behind the scenes because they are calling for essentially the transformation of public lands into private hands, and they always have. You know, the Bundys were kind of there for the Sagebrush Rebellion of 1979, which was when a state wilderness area was proclaimed for the area of Moab, Utah. And, you know, the Bundy and, you know, their kind of crew showed up to protest this kind of violation of their civil rights to graze their cattle wherever they wanted and whatnot. And that turned into a huge anti-environmentalist battle that came about, especially in the late 80s, with the treaty rights stuff that was happening in Washington and Oregon, as well as Wise Use Movement, which was against environmentalists like Judy Berry and the Headwaters Campaign in California, and various environmental stuff regarding the spotted owl up here in the Pacific Northwest. So the Wise Use Movement integrated the ranchers, fishermen, loggers, miners into a broader struggle that was also called property rights, you know, against what was called takings, which is when the federal government has like wetlands, or in the case of the wildlife refuge, where they'll try to buy back lands that ranchers have either homesteaded or purchased a long time ago. And so those battles have often also included groups that are connected to neo-Nazis and fascists, like the Populist Party, which was one of David Duke and Willis Carto's creations. The Klan, you know, was integrated into the Wise Use Movement up here in the Northwest. And, you know, people like in right now, John Ritzheimer, who's actually from Arizona, and I actually interviewed him up there in the refuge. But he's an 11-year Marine, he says, and one of the founders of the anti-mosque movement in Arizona. He's extremely hateful, and more recently he was in headlines because he was actually saying that, you know, violent action needed to be taken against Muslims in the United States after the Paris attacks and the San Bernardino attacks. So he's a pretty nasty guy, and he doesn't know a thing about ranching. You know, that's not why he's up there.
And he's a really controversial character too, because we've seen this group in Malheur. Basically, there's more than even two sides there, I think. And we've seen where some of the people are saying, you know, we don't want violence. But then there have been he specifically who's come out and made statements about violence. But then he's also turned around and sort of contradicted those statements. So it actually sounds like a great big situation where people, maybe their connection to reality isn't that great. When you went there, what did you see there? Did you see children in the building?
I didn't see any children. I saw women and men. They're all white folks. And they're not entirely organized or together. I think either you're completely correct that they don't have a very good connection to reality. When we were talking to Ritzheimer, he kept on reciting this sort of script that he had, but we got interrupted twice, and so three times he had to start back at the first line, you know, because he couldn't actually get off anything honestly. Everything was just sort of cue card ready, what I'm going to say to the media. The fact that we actually got interrupted was kind of great, because then he kind of got shaken up and then started saying things that he otherwise probably wouldn't have.
Knowing what you know of comparable situations in the past, knowing what you know of these movements, what do you think is going to happen in the end? I know you don't have a crystal ball in your pocket, but what do you think is going to happen?
That's a great question. I wonder myself. It looks like right now it's kind of weird, because on the one hand, there's hardly any police or federal presence at the site itself. You can kind of just walk in and out. That's what we did. And we were in there for like 45 minutes, just talking to people. So it's not like a kind of like siege, you know, like either Ruby Ridge or Waco, but that's definitely in the narrative. You know, their narrative is almost we're going here to die, just like Ruby Ridge and Waco, and it's going to touch off this huge cascade of angry anti-government and anti-immigrant, xenophobic, Islamophobic and racist violence throughout the country, you know, and world. So the fact that they're not being humored there is in itself a kind of bathos. It's just kind of like a reduction, a satirical reduction of their, you know, pride, you know, and privilege. So they're kind of just hanging out there and reveling in it a little bit. And that's the other side of it. They're actually quite happy to remain in an occupation because as long as they're there, they feel like politicians will start to come over to their side. And we've kind of seen that happen. And although institutionally they'll be rejected in small sort of micro ways, you know, they're going to start brooking larger compromises on the right. As I said, ALEC is very interested, you know, a consortium of multinational corporations in the industry are extremely interested in stopping environmental regulations. And that's a huge part of why they're occupying a wildlife refuge. So this does enable people like Trump and Cruz and other Republicans to actually move further to the right and capture some of those wingnut ideas that are growing in popularity and presence. So some people are calling for some more kind of action, although it is ridiculous to say, you know, people should go in there with guns blazing and, you know, make this into kind of a martyrdom. But as to what's going to happen, you know, it's really hard to tell.
Alexander Reed Ross, thanks a lot for speaking with us. For KBOO News, I'm Lisa Loving.
Prison Pipeline is a radio program dedicated to educating the public about the Oregon criminal justice system. Topics include incarceration and reentry,